to Dippy Dappy Sports. It's been a while, but the brothers Tims are back. So, Aaron, what have you been up to?
Why is the audio quality so bad on your end?
Is it that bad?
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Our three or four listeners won't mind, I don't think.
Just fix it in post.
You're in the office right now, are you, mate?
No, home office. It's a little bit annoying because I've had to move offices, professional context. And the office that I was in, I was quite sort of squirreled away.
What do you mean in a professional context? You're fired.
No, I was.
You got fired. You got the sack.
I was shifted. Lost my job.
You got canned. You got canned.
I was shifted a few offices north on level 28.
Yeah,
and
that's a step up.
Not really. It actually sucks. It's sort of dark and not great.
Got the corner office.
No, I'm two from the corner office. And the uptight old Anglo who has the corner office is basically never there. Like she's always driving up to her house in Palm Beach just producing seashell frames for people to put their artwork or their photos in.
it's kind of firm you're working at, isn't it? It encourages sort of, you know, the interests, the human side,
artistic pursuits,
in, you know, the crafting, the bric-a-brac, the bits and the bobs, the springs and the dims. And I mean, you have been encouraged in your alternative career as a podcaster as well. There's a lot of interest around the office in your work and what you have to say about the state of sport and culture today.
Okay.
Have you told anyone at the office about this podcast?
No,
it's a secret.
Why would I do that?
Well, you used to do that. You used to tell everyone in these, you know, various sort of law firms that you worked out that you were doing podcasts and doing sort of videos about sports. why are you telling them? Like, what do you think they're going to listen to?
How many beers have you had?
How many beers have you had? good question. And that's great to hear. That's great to hear. So, but you're not there today, not in the gloomy two from corner office, your corner office minus two.
Exactly.
In the home office, you know, window open, shorts on, probably not even any pants.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. That's great. That's great. Thank you. Thank you for that accurate summation. No, what I was going to say before you just continued on your rant was what's most irritating about having moved offices is that I basically now can't record the podcast in the office because it's a bit more accessible. I can be seen a lot more just because of where I am on the floor plate. It's just probably not a great look to be sort of sitting there with the earphones plugged into the MacBook.
Cool. I mean, no one knows.
You can basically hear what people are saying on phone calls. It's kind of
That explains the sort of loyally tone that you've adopted on many of these podcasts in the past, which have been
I've just recorded from instructions.
It is our belief, it is our contention that, Steve Smith should drop back down to number four. And
what a great entry, great lead into opener's conundrum. The opener's
comedy term.
Segway. Segway.
Yeah.
Seg.
Yeah, just a seg.
Steve Smith. I mean,
today I discovered that Star Anise in the US is pronounced Star Anise. Star Anise.
they don't think there's an E on the end,
I guess not. They're quite sort of militant about enforcing that pronunciation. But yes, the opener's conundrum.
Staranis.
Who will open?
Marcus Staranis. Who will open? This is like Steve Smith reminds me of that very famous late show sketch about John Fay around about the time of the Sydney or when Sydney was awarded the Olympics.
And just quickly for our younger listeners, what is the late show?
It's the last time the ABC did anything good. That's what it is. There we go.
Well, what about Josh Thomas's what was that guy's name? The guy with the weird accent. With the series about being gay or whatever. So it's a series, a comedy series from the early 1990s. Degeneration, seminal, probably, you know, the best TV comedy that Australia's ever produced, apart from, of course, you know, Mark Mitchell as Con the Fruiterer, but
that was just a sketch.
Yeah.
Some might say capacious
definition of comedy here. Capacious definition, but
Acropolis Now, you know, might be in with a shout for that mantle. Anyway, what was
John Fay? Yeah, John Fay. Steve Smith is like John Fay. We're looking forward to discovering where this analogy is going to go.
Yeah, I think we've done it to death. But Steve Smith obviously puts his hand up in the change room and says that he can do it. He can do anything. He can do everything. Whether someone needs to open, whether it's someone who needs to open the bowling, like he'll do it.
Yeah.
If someone needs a wicket keep, he'll do it. If someone needs to buy a mattress from Koala, like he'll do it. Yeah. He'll do it.
Or someone needs some oat milk.
He'll do it. If someone, you know, needs to buy an overly expensive house in Vaucluse, he'll do it. That's the kind of accommodating guy he is. So, I'm a bit on the fence.
You're not convinced by the Smith as opener experiment.
Given the amount of time David Warner was given, you know, in his sort of farewell decade. It's almost as if it probably is a bit premature to be judging Smith on the basis of a few dodgy leaves and some LBW decisions in New Zealand, which were obviously, most remarkable for the expression on his face as he's given out, because that look of sheer surprise that he does is quite excellent, and I'd quite like to see more of it. It's like it's a Shane Watson 2.0.
It's like and also the way that he asks for the asks for the review. It's kind of like, you know, why do I have to go through this whole thing? I'm obviously not out. It's like, what's going on here? They were of course, he scored the 90 odd or whatever in the second innings in Sydney. Which was pretty good. And I thought it was going to be the start of, you know, the blossoming of Steve Smith as an opener, but it didn't quite happen for him in New Zealand, of course. But they were obviously quite difficult wickets. Seeming green. Out overhead, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, yeah, there were some Australians who kind of cashed in those weird moments where the wickets seemed to flatten out. Cam Green and so forth. Marnus scored a few runs. But generally it was a very low scoring series. In fact, both the West Indies series and the New Zealand series were pretty low scoring, favored the bowlers, which is really what we want to see. So no one really sort of distinguished themselves apart from maybe Cam Green, I guess. And Mitch Marsh, maybe. No one really distinguished themselves in the batting lineup. But we still won the series. So I don't know. I think he deserves more time.
No, I think he does.
He deserves more time as an opener.
Carey certainly distinguished himself.
Kez came good.
Carey
Kez.
Hang on a
Kez
second.
Came good.
Just hang on. Hold it. Hold fire. Hold fire.
What are you doing here? respond to a text message or something. WhatsApp message.
Okay.
Got an emergency in the group chat.
Okay. I think that's better now.
I think he deserves a bit more time. But also, I mean, the cracks in the batting lineup are sort of papered over by the fact that we have two genuine bowling all-rounders now who take off a lot of the pressure from the paces. So the paces can be used in much more sort of intensive bursts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it does, for me, this raises the question. I mean, because they've both been very good and they both bowl, you know, fast. I mean, they bowl as fast as the you know, specialist bowlers do. They both get up to about 140 Ks an hour, right? But it does raise the question of why we don't just have, and in addition to that,
this is your favorite topic.
But in addition to that, I just want to say, in addition to that, we've also got the fact that the bowlers bat quite well. And Pat Cummins, of course, is an amazing closer.
He is.
Fourth innings closer. He's done it now three times. You know, when I saw some stat that was like the three highest successful fourth innings chases of the past 15 years have all involved Pat Cummins. You know, the one in South Africa in 2011. Obviously the Ashes last year, and then this chase. So it does raise a question. You know, we're transitioning into the era of the bowler, and we should just fast track the selection of an all bowler and keeper Australian 11. We don't need specialist batters anymore. Batters are done. Finished. Let's just get Pat Cummins opening. You know, Cam Green and Mitch Marsh can open.
Yeah.
Then we can have, you know, Sean Abbott, you know, Michael Nisa, you know, Coulter Nile, bring him back.
Basically, you are struggling to think of 11 bowlers.
No, I'm trying to think of the bowlers who are actually good batters, who are in the frame, as I like to say, expression you may not have heard before, who are in the frame for selection in the Australian 11 or have been selected in the past couple of years. These are the ones. There's Jai Richardson, of course, great with the willow in hand. Don't think I've ever seen him bat. But and then there's, of course, you know, the wild thing who, you know, he can nudge a ball down to, you know, sort of fine leg or whatever. So we've got to just cut this obsession, this sick obsession with having specialist batters in the Australian team. Just recognize that the bowlers are the future. And, you know, the wickets that are being prepared now, of course, are much more bowler friendly as well, which is great, because who wants to see sort of 5 days of boring batting on a flat wicket? We want to see wickets. We want to see
high runs, fives. We want to
see bounces, high fives, you know, the bum pats.
The haircuts that James Anderson was sporting on the tour of India was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, that with that kind of haircut, he doesn't deserve to have taken 700 test wickets. Okay.
I agree with that. Remember what his haircut was like, but so England, you're happy with the happy with the result there? You don't have any thoughts on my all bowler 11?
No. I think the all bowler 11 agenda is certainly one. You should send an email to Mike Baird and see if he responds. Yeah, just, you know, MikeBaird@cricket.com. Maybe we could get Mike Baird on the show.
Yeah, he'd be good. He still talk like that.
His voice changed. Man. He's an everybody. He's very good. He's very good at corporate governance.
It'd be good to get Julia Baird on as well. Julia and the Baird siblings.
Get the siblings. In fact, we should only have
siblings. The Marsh brothers, the Baird siblings,
the War brothers.
Just all the siblings you can think of, really.
Yep.
Hamish and Andy. love to see them on.
The bowling 11. Look, I think the bowling 11. Look, it has a certain charm. When things are not going particularly well, I'm sure the games will reach a rapid conclusion, and you'll probably get I mean, you probably end up getting like what sort of teams bowled out for maybe 100, 150, which is probably this is probably fine. I mean, how many runs do people need to score anyway?
That should be the ceiling in a test match. You know, there's the days of sort of, 660 declared for eight or whatever. They've got to be over. They've got to be over.
Batting people out of the game.
Just score quick. Score quick and
Bowl quick.
get it over and done with in sort of 3 days.
You know, I mean, you might as well just make it a 2 innings T20, T40. No, well, I mean, I look, let's talk about Alex Carey for a second.
Yeah, cares, fish
He,
eyes.
yeah, I mean, look, he's certainly his batting wasn't hadn't been great. I mean, we'd obviously made jokes about him sort of scratching around and getting a 24 or whatever, and then getting out.
Great jokes.
And but I guess a bit like Smith, it seemed a bit unfair that just because people, thought that he wasn't sort of performing that well, but he was certainly performing well enough that his test place was under threat to England.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is a bit of a difference with Smith. I mean, Smith has almost 10,000
Proven.
test runs and an average of 58 in test cricket or whatever. This bloke's been, in the team for how many years now? Like 4 years
Five?
or something? Five?
Yeah,
Five
four
years and
or
has sort
five.
of, oh, no, 3 years, right? Because Tim Payne obviously was the,
Oh, yeah.
came beforehand, but yeah, Tim Payne, you remember him?
Great text messages.
I'm seriously
Great
hard.
text messages. Great text messages. Between
He's
him
still,
and
but he's not.
Christian Horner, some great
What
text messages.
were Horner's text messages?
Horner's text messages. I mean, what's obviously remarkable about all of
Horner.
these guys sending text messages is frankly how lame they are. It's all, he's like, "What are you?" It's basically it's like, "What are you wearing?" It's like that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah,
No,
but
so Gary.
Carey's been, he's been given a lot of chances and he's batting. I mean, what he did do early on in his test career, of course, that was very sort of advantageous is score a century. So he kind of got that
Get
out of the
that
way
down.
nice and early. Yeah, so he's not sort of the next Tim Payne.
No.
And many would say that Pat Cummins should have given him back the strike so he could hit a four and get to his century here as well. Here, I mean, Christchurch. But that didn't happen. And whatever. I mean, the point is, his spot is safe now for the next sort of couple of tours or whatever for the next year or so. And we look forward to seeing him blossom.
Yeah, or just wither and see how long he can extract some juice out of that. Not out on obviously in a very pressured situation. I mean, I obviously they talk about all tests being high level and competitive, and that's obviously largely true. But
In your experience.
a little part of me thinks, honestly, it's like it's New Zealand. They're good, but they invariably always crumble. Like it's not England, it's not India, or indeed, away to South Africa. So yes, it certainly counts from from a stats perspective. But I mean, how many people were really watching Cameron Green, Cam, score his 174, or Carey come in at that particular time? I mean, the tens of people at Hagley Oval just kind of sitting around, probably not really paying attention to the cricket.
What do you mean? Like it doesn't matter because there weren't many people at the ground.
It's just it's against New Zealand in New Zealand. It's just a bit. It's just a
You
bit.
don't rate it.
It's a bit. It's a bit second rate.
Bit of a joke country. Shouldn't
Joke
even really
accent.
be. Joke accent. Shouldn't really. Should just be absorbed into the Commonwealth of Australia. Like why are they a sovereign nation?
Take that to a referendum.
That'd be a good one. No, good points all round. And well, what else do we have to talk about?
Was that, is that it for the cricket? That's all. I mean, what do they do now? There's a tour of India. They'll probably just have a relax. I mean, when's the IPL? That's in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah, so they'll just sort of
Just
go there and
Mitchell Stark and Cummins cashing in.
yeah. I mean, how does Josh Hazlewood feel? Like he's been the like the
The
superior bowler. Yeah.
pick of the quicks.
But no one's paying him big cash because he's not basically what? Because he's too bogan.
Well, I think he's sort of maybe too fragile as well, because he was sort of injured when all the you remember he was injured for most of the
Most
past
the
12, 18
Ashes,
months or whatever. And the you know, so it's like
the big
when
money.
they
He'll
when
kind of
these
miss the
teams
big money
were
boat.
yeah, I think so. But he has been a very good, I mean he I think he unfairly has this reputation of being a like a test specialist, but he's very good at short format bowling as well. So wish him all the best in his
Yeah.
endeavors. And
Yeah.
must be hard to be a highly paid cricketer.
Maybe just do a whip around for Hazelwood.
Just just sent around the hat. Just a minimum donut. I was at this stopped at this jazz bar tonight, actually, in the neighborhood.
Oh,
Oh, the new
really?
jazz bar, so I'm double
How
it. They were like,
many
and
whiskeys? Nice.
no,
Hey.
I didn't. There's this guy I know who was like, messaged me as I happened to be walking past, and he was like, "Are you in the neighborhood? I'm at the Dada, the jazz bar." So
Oh.
I went in and sort of said hello to him. Didn't drink anything. But the jazz band was getting ready to play, and they had the MC get up behind the DJ booth, and he was like, "Yeah, the jazz band's about to start. We're just sending around a hat, minimum donation $20." I was like,
What?
suggested donation $20. I'm like, huh? Ridiculous.
Thanks. Thank
Absolutely
you.
absurd.
Thank
Cost of
you.
living out of
Oh,
control.
cost
Thanks,
of
Joe
living crazy.
Biden.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What a disgrace.
Yeah, but yeah,
Good
so anyway,
little
well,
jazz
apart from that,
bar.
I guess.
Good little jazz.
Yeah. Well, the guy started up kind of the first song, he was doing like a lot of scatting, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm probably just gonna go at this point. It's
Righto.
like,
People study that very, very seriously. I'll go to Juilliard and just, do a graduate
oh,
certificate in
it's definitely worth
scat.
studying. But yeah, but baseball's great failure, of course, in India is probably worth commenting on, I suppose. Just
Yeah.
briefly.
Yeah. I mean, they were unceremoniously thrashed. I mean, there's really no other way that you could possibly describe it.
It's really good that it ended with like an innings thrashing.
Yeah, but
Like
yeah, I'm not.
perfect punctuation point.
And of course, I think they still maintain that it's only because of baseball that everyone else is playing this more aggressive brand of cricket. Okay, thank you. I don't think Ravi Ashwin really cares about baseball. I mean, he really just rolled through them. And some of the shot, I mean, obviously I watched the highlights. I don't have Fox. I just watched the highlights, and he was excellent. And I mean, he's probably gonna. I mean, I know this has obviously been said previously, but given the rate at which he takes wickets, and he's probably the only one of the current bowlers who will probably come close to, catching Murali in terms of total test dismissals. But I mean,
Well,
he's
I mean, if they pick him, I mean, how old is he actually?
I don't think he's 36, I think. I mean, I might have
37.
that
Yeah,
wrong.
he's pretty old. He's getting up into the sort of the Kumble areas. Sort of just
Anderson's what, about 40?
Kumble's looking good. Yeah, but I mean,
Kumble
Anderson's 40, but he's like this little
just
bloke who
finished.
doesn't bowl very fast, and
Anderson's not little. He's not that little.
He's well, how tall is he? He's quite small, isn't he?
He's taller than you.
Or he's like what, 6'3" or something?
Oh, here we are. Oh, six, 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 two, six, two and a half.
6'3". No, like he's relatively. He's not as tall as Stuart Broad, but anyway, he's not
Well,
exactly
you've met him.
Wayne Holdsworth. Yes, we've greeted each other in the.
Wow, Jimmy Anderson's 6'2". I always thought he was small.
Yeah, he's not that small. I wouldn't describe him as small.
Why does he bowl so slow then?
Oh, he's an old bloke who's trundled around, the fields everywhere.
He's quite tall. This is completely altered my. This is like discovering that Bob Carr is short. Bob
I
Carr
don't
is like
think
five nine.
Bob Carr is not 5'9".
I have it on good authority from
For
someone
his boy.
who sat down and had an in-person interview with him when during the interview, Bob Carr was doing stretches the whole time. He's 5'9". 5'9", 5'10", max, but definitely not a tall man. I'd always lived with the belief, the delusion, it now turns out, that Bob Carr was actually a very tall and imposing sort of lanky figure.
Statesman like
Turns
Premier.
out Bob Carr is what I thought Jimmy Anderson was, and Jimmy Anderson is what I thought Bob Carr was.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we put that to bed.
It's all the pressing issues being discussed here on Tippy Tappy Sports.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, so yeah, Basball's done. Ashwin's going to get sort of probably 600 wickets. He's only at 516 now, so I don't think he's going to get close to Murali, but or even Warne for that matter. But
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
No, I just can't see it happening. Well, because they also don't pick him for every test. Obviously, they sort of have this thing where they want the sword celebration, so they go with Jadeja.
He's also a lot cooler, Jadeja.
Ashwin's like a bit of a dork, right? He's sort of, product manager at the startup kind of vibes.
But even maybe not even that cool. He's just
Oh, you
he's like
think he's
a
cool?
no. He's probably
Oh,
like
you
a
like,
he's probably like a
oh.
community engagement kind of guy. Like it's like, guys, have you heard of Jira? Okay, can I tell you about this? So righto, thanks, mate.
Community engagement moderator.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Go.
anyway, so on to league. Benji Marshall, obviously, getting ready to take charge of the West Tigers for the first time as coach
Oh.
this weekend. Exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, you've been speaking to Fips.
Riding that post-Vegas high is the NRL with I loved all those videos from Vegas where it was like Fatty Vaughton walking around being like, oh, this is amazing. It's like it's all Australians in the stadium. It's like, I mean, the stuff that was written afterwards, I was like, yeah, is someone going to do, the critical, takedown or whatever of this whole exercise? And no one did. It was all like, oh, it's a great success and amazing, they half filled Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I was like, it was obviously a complete failure. Like, there was no, it had absolutely no impact on America. No one cared about it. It was literally just, it was basically just a bunch of, sort of retirees, sort of retiree bogans who are into league doing the equivalent of like a
A
cruise,
cruise,
but but they went to Vegas and watched, a couple of
couple of
NRL
league.
matches that were essentially indistinguishable from just watching them at, the football stadium or whatever. And then, got on the slots and the slots and the craps, the slots and the craps
And just
afterwards,
catch the Kid Rock, the Late Show. Just rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
It's just embarrassing. Just embarrassing.
But I don't understand, like, sort of why Peter Vlandis has this sort of mesmeric control over people. It's like it's quite odd that so whatever sort of comes out of his mouth, people think is must be absolutely true. And he keeps sort of spouting that there are, what is this, like 2,000 Australians in the US or something like that. And if we all get them to pay $100 a year, then league revenues are going to go through the roof.
It's just the most sort of rudimentary garbage economics sort of that he's putting forward, and people are like, oh yeah, okay, that could work, that could work.
You must
I mean,
though.
it may come down to, I mean, Peter Vlandis, of course, is Greek. It may come down to what the Greeks once called charisma, which we now know in English as charisma.
Yes, yes. Like, or like, or riz. You know?
Yeah, he's got real riz.
Yeah.
Does a bit of London. Anyway, so that was a joke, and then the Arsenal.
Well, just before we leave the leg, obviously, it was good to see that they trotted out another video with to be voiced by Rusty Crow, so that you know, so that he could explain the rules to the American people who, as you've said, you know, had zero interest in watching the game or obviously listening to anything that Russell Crowe has to say, because I can't actually think of a film that Russell Crowe
film that he's been in
has done recently. Yeah.
No, he's just sort of stopped acting, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's given up. He's given up.
Yeah,
he's not interested anymore. It's all too hard. That's rugby league. You can keep talking to Phipps about the league, because I'm sure he'll have I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about Benji Marshall's success or otherwise, as the Tigers continue their stellar run to the bottom of the bottom of the ladder.
Hey,
there we go. Tell us about that. moving on to the Arsenal. Moving on to the Arsenal.
Yeah.
I was obviously I didn't watch the Champions League game.
In preparation for this podcast, I did not watch any of the matches.
I failed to watch the Champions League. Well, I was
asleep.
Yeah, I mean,
I love this perennial comment in these podcasts, which are normally about sport, and in fact are about sport, because that's the main thing that we discuss, where you're like, I don't have a subscription to that, so I can't watch it. You know, mate, if you want the podcast to take the next step, okay, and reach scale, you've got to invest in the subscriptions, all right? You've got to be at the laptop 24 hours a day, consuming sport.
Yeah. Just there watching Stan Sport, Fox Sports, KO, whatever it is, Paramount Plus.
Just get on Paramount Plus with Titi Henry.
Yeah.
And do you see these like highlights of these things with Titi Henry and Micah Richards and Jamie Carragher? Do you get that in?
Yeah, I mean that sort of pops up in my feed. I mean, Micah Richards is obviously just there to sort of laugh uproariously at
kind of a Gerard McKay figure. He's sort of just this guy who's sort of cackling constantly.
Yeah. It's infectious though, right?
Yeah, I know there was a good segment the other day where they were, you know, because they were at the whatever it's called, the Emirates for the Arsenal match against Porto, which was won by Arsenal in that wonderful David De Gea penalty shootout. But so there was a segment before the match where Jamie Carragher and Michael Richards were walking around and sort of talking about the stadium and stuff and making stupid comments. Then they went to the Thierry Henry statue and they were like, oh, you know, Thierry Henry, the legend, the king, blah, 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 blah. But he always looks so angry. And then they were sort of acting out what their statues would look like if each of them had a statue outside their club. And so Jamie Carragher did one where he was like looking tired or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Carragher was like, oh, you know, Michael, what do you think people remember you for at Manchester City? And he was like, I don't know, being on the bench. So it has its moments. It has its moments. Definitely has its place. It can get a little bit annoying at times. Anyway, so Arsenal won, and that's wonderful. And we're gonna proceed. I'd love to see us get us. I say us, of course, we are both Arsenal fans, deeply invested in the club's success, and have been for many decades now.
Thanks, Andy. You said it. We can't win.
I would like to see us get actually in the quarters. I'd like to see us get drawn against Barcelona, because I think that would be nice and sort of poetic, given the number of times that we were eliminated by Barcelona under the Wenger administration. You know, most famously in the final in 2006, but also in all those knockouts, kind of in the Van Persie Wilshere years. Yeah, 2010, 2011, 2012. 2013, you know, you kept getting knocked out by these people. Anyway, so that's what I like to see. What about you?
Okay. I actually don't think it. Well, I don't think it's going to matter.
Who
Arsenal draws, because they'll. I'm just sort of concerned that that they will run out of steam. I mean, they're sort of talking about, you know, all the crap that you read. It's like, oh, there's just more steel. There's more steel in the team.
I mean, I think there is, but also there are more bodies. You know, they're basically playing. He's now playing Havertz up front, so Jesus is, you know, on the bench. So that's a body. Bring him on. That's a great option off the bench.
Yeah.
And then he's got Smith Rowe and Partey and Smith Rowe and. Jorginho is like sort of starting now. But Partey and all those types off the bench, I think, is pretty good.
There's more steel. It just means that there are more bodies.
I think that means there's more steel. There's more body, therefore there's more steel. They're wearing steel. They're all got steel on. But also they have the great moral authority of Ben White, who did one of the greatest things ever over the past 24 hours, which is tell Gareth Southgate to go jump, and then he doesn't want to be in the England setup. I was like, this guy's a legend. He snubbed England. I mean, it's obvious, you know, Barney Ronay wrote a piece that was like, you know, this shows the ascendance of the club over the country, and it sort of spells the end of international football. I don't buy that argument at all. I think this is something very specific to Ben White, who's obviously a very sort of endearingly odd character. You can tell that from, you know, the very sort of deadpan and uncooperative way that he answers a lot of the media's questions. I think something happened when he was in Qatar during the World Cup, in that squad.
Yeah.
Because he left, of course. Didn't play. I just don't think he likes sort of, you know, the chavs and the meatheads and the homophobes in the England squad, and that's, of course, to his credit. So we love to see England players who openly disdain the idea of playing for England. I think that's
for the three lines.
Wonderful to see.
I think it probably would detract from his time spent in the tanning salon, that's always going to be a bit of a problem.
That's a priority for him.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is a priority. But he has been uniformly excellent this season. And it's
only got 30 seconds here, so wrap it up real quick.
I was just going to say. I mean. It's like it takes so long to be called up to like the national team. And obviously, you know, Southgate's got his pets. He's got his sort of favorites and whatnot. And it's like you have to go through all of this angst to then maybe get kind of called up to the squad. And then what? And then you probably just get injured. And then your club form is, you know, just generally goes down the toilet. And then what? And then you finish fourth. And that's that. Yeah.
Well, there's still time for you. Graham Arnold might still be making that call to call you up to the Socceroos squad. So
that's why I'm playing Div 1 over 35 tonight.
It was at that time that I realised that Aaron was in fact drunk. And also, we'd run out of time with our Zoom subscription. So I didn't get to finish my wonderful anecdote about playing Div 1 over 35s in the Essendon first competition. We'll pick this up next time. Thank you for joining Tippy Tappy Sports. See you very soon.